Thanks for listening to the Tech Tools for Teachers podcast, where each week we talk about a free piece or two of technology that you can use in your classroom. I'm the co-host, Fuzz Martin, with my wife, Shanna Martin, who's a middle school teacher, technology coach, and personalized coordinator for her district. I'm her producer, and she has barely a voice left. That's why I'm introing the show today. Hey, girl, what's up?
Hey. So, we're still podcasting. It's like plowing through.
Yeah, I was sick, you're sick, the other one was sick.
And so...
But you feel fine, right?
I feel absolutely fine. And so I was like, I got stuff ready for the podcast. And you're looking at me like...
Yesterday was really? Even worse. But
2 days ago was non-existent.
So, real quick for those listening in their car or at home.
Hi. I'm drinking tea. I get my voice every sip.
Tell me about, you had a student in one of your classrooms interpreting for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know about other teachers, but I feel like at least once a year, I feel like it's already happened twice this year, but that you kind of lose your voice. Like if you get a cold or whatever, your voice goes. Mm-hmm. I don't even talk that much in my classroom since I have a lot of student-led stuff, but there's still... You're still talking, you know, throughout the day for various things. So there's a lot of talking. And we introed. Actually, there were several things that happened this week. Everyone has colds. And on Wednesday, my voice was non-existent. Like it was a whisper and just came out in squeaks. And so one of my students who likes to
be up in front of class.
Well, just likes to share their thoughts and stuff. I asked for his assistance at the start of my day.
He loved it.
And he did an excellent job. I said things, and then he repeated them to everybody else, and then also felt the need to fill in his own teacher voice to tell other students that they need to sit down and whatnot. And it worked out really well,
actually. Maybe he'll become a teacher because of that.
And maybe. I think he would do a really good job. And so he kind of stepped in, and then my students for the rest of the day, he's only in a couple of my classes, so... The kids are like, Mrs. Martin, are you okay? Does it hurt? Mm-hmm. I'm like, honestly, I feel great. I just, you guys can't talk any louder. I can't get any louder than this.
Yeah.
And so they did more reading out loud and stuff just for it to help me out. But they've been really troopers. The kids have been awesome, which I really appreciate. I've got a really good group of kids. And then on Friday, we were rolling out a combined science social studies project, which was basically, it's an inquiry. So we laid out directions all day long because we had to do it for all of our classes because then we combined classes and stuff. So there's that. And then today I was at a pool party.
A pool party
with our
almost five-year-old. Now,
I will just point out that chlorine doesn't help.
No, it really doesn't.
When you don't have a voice.
Now, before we get into the rest of the show as well.
Yes, the actual learning of things.
You have coming up on at your school district and also our oldest daughter's school district, Digital Learning Days.
Yeah.
And that's becoming a thing. Is that becoming a thing just across Wisconsin or across the nation?
It already is in place in many school districts. So like a lot of Indiana school districts, this has been going on for the last 5 years.
Okay.
And charter schools, it happens, and quite a few other schools, Minnesota and stuff, schools in Michigan, they've had them in place.
So this is the equivalent of kids working from
home.
Our
area, non-charter schools in our area, yes. They kind of started last year because we had so many cold days last year.
Right.
That schools, are going to school, really late in the summer.
It was 1 year ago this past week that it was -60 degrees here in Wisconsin.
Yeah. We had a bunch of cold days.
Yeah.
So looking at, digital learning days or they're called e-learning days in some districts.
Okay.
But where the kids then, our first one is planned. It's a planned one so we can see if we can roll it out in our district.
Yeah, sure.
So we're kind of testing the waters. But it's the teachers all have their plans ready and then the kids... learn from home and then report out what they've learned and
stuff. I mean, I think it's good for my. If you do it this way, kids won't necessarily have to. If you have an excess of snow or cold days off, they won't have to stay later in the summer.
Right.
But also, as an employer, it helps prepare people for working at home, which has become a thing with Gen...
Yeah, you have a lot of employees that work from home, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, like with younger millennial and Gen Z employees, they like to work from home. They don't like to interact as much with people face-to-face. It's just the way things are. I'm not going to dog them for it. It's just how
it's just different.
How they were raised and how things have grown. And so but being able to do so effectively, I think, is actually a skill to learn. Like if you can...
like time management and stuff.
Yeah, if you can manage your time at home, stay focused at home, you can actually maybe get more stuff done without the distractions, especially if you're a student. I remember as a student being distracted by all things, like socially and hormonally and all those kind of things, like being able to focus and get stuff done. You know, maybe not watch The Price is Right all day, but
take a break, watch The Price is Right.
Take a break. You know, I know your school and my daughter's school as well have laid out the what to do if you're maybe you don't have Wi-Fi at home or you're you don't have some of the
different pieces. Like if you don't have Chromebooks at home, like you know, can you use like the same stuff on your phone? Yeah, if you're able to do so. So yeah, we're trying to like navigate, making sure that all students' needs are met.
Yeah, but I think those are great. They obviously incorporate technology more than a lot of things, but also I think are a good way to prepare students for today's service-based workforce.
Right, and also having like a little self-discipline too. Like you've got to sit down and kind of do some stuff without someone telling you what to do.
Right.
And we're running our 6-12. I know most of them are like 6-12 because elementary, it's meetings. You still have to meet like minutes for the school year. So elementary minutes are always different. But for older students, like to, you know, sit at home here, you're going to, you know, continue. A lot of it's continuing on work that they're already doing in class. Like here's like read the next chapter, or if you're working on a project, like do the next portion of it. You know, it's not like, oh, here's a whole brand new concept that you're going to have to learn. So it should be, I'm excited to see how things kind of roll out and like what we need to tweak and stuff like that. Cause we've been putting this together for a year. So it should be pretty cool.
Cool.
So this week with all of our things, I was trying to like, oh, we need a cool theme because I can't survive without a theme.
No.
But then I was thinking of all the things I was doing with my staff this week.
Yeah.
And so I figured, you know what, I'll just talk about the cool little things I was digging up for staff members this week, because when I work with staff members, it's 6-12 and it's different content areas all the time. And a lot of my like work with other people is just like, hey, Shanna, you got an idea for this? What do you got? What can you dig up for me? What have you seen before? And so it's a lot of like, oh, hey, I found this cool thing on Twitter, or like, this is a cool website that I've seen, you know, other teachers use. So, so this week, so it's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And a little bit of my voice and a little bit of yours.
And a little bit more of mine than normal.
So the first one, it's a that, actually. It was rolling through Twitter and some teachers started talking about this.
Or that.
It's a little bit of that. And it's called That Quiz.
That Quiz.
ThatQuiz.org.
Oh, That Quiz.
A little bit of this. Or That Quiz.
Tell me about That Quiz.
So That Quiz, ThatQuiz.org, That Quiz. And it's really, you can create a login and stuff, but you definitely don't have to. It's one of those sites where everything is just pretty straightforward. And what it does is it quizzes you. It's a lot of it math. My math people out there, woo. it's mostly math, but there are a few other things like vocabulary and geography and a little bit of science that you can throw in there.
Sure.
And
so their tagline is math test activities for students and teachers of all grade levels.
Yeah.
But it also has vocab, geography, and science.
So you're going to pick a topic. That reminds me of kind of like, like free rice is like focused on vocab, but they actually have all topic areas.
Right.
So you're going to pick a topic. So we'll pick like arithmetic.
Okay.
You click on it and then you can choose like, I wanted to do addition, and it's really straightforward. On the left-hand side of the screen, there's little check boxes. So you can pick, I want addition and subtraction, or I just want addition. And you literally just, you type in the number. So like, I have 5 + 8. Cool. And if I get my answer right, then it says, okay, you got it right, or you got it wrong. And there's a clock on the right-hand side with right and wrong answers, and there's a clock, and you get like 10 questions, and you can reset. But basically, it's kind of like reviewing your math skills, and yeah, it's timed. It doesn't, you don't have to worry about the clock. Sure. It just kind of shows you. And once you've answered all 10 questions, it'll give you the breakdown on the average of how long it took you okay. to answer each of those questions. Mm-hmm. Like if you are like in a younger grade level, and you need to like do timed math tests. I don't yeah. know how often people do that anymore, but excuse me. But it's kind of just a cool, just straightforward math practice, which you could do on paper, but this you could do on a phone or on, you know, a sure. computer or a tablet. And like you can practice measurement. And measurement, we have been doing a ton with our eighth graders. They actually do it in science class because there's so many kids that don't remember their basic measurements, and like you need those things, those are life skills. So they've been doing a lot of measurement practice. So like that's an option here, like here's the fish, they'll literally line up a fish on a ruler and you got to tell me how many like centimeters the fish is. So it's
easy.
Yeah, so pick one. So what's kind of cool is that it just is pretty straightforward math,
yeah,
and gives you some feedback. And you know how well you're doing and what you need to do. And
the thing I'm worried most about this mm-hmm. one in particular is it's so simple. I don't know where I'm going to find a logo for the website for this blog like, post.
Do a little screen cut that quiz.
That quiz in yeah, Helvetica.
So, yeah, it's not I don't even know like the font. Okay. But yeah, so it's very straightforward. It's mm-hmm. simple. It's math practice or vocab or the geography. They give you maps and then you drag to label maps.
Yep.
Again, just some reinforcement of basic skills. Cool. So it's a little bit of that.
All right. So that's thatquiz.com?
.org.
.org.
Thatquiz.org.
Okay.
Cool.
Thatquiz.org.
So the second one we have.
Yep.
A little bit of this.
And a little bit of?
Well, this is none of that. This okay. Is... It's made by Squibbler.
All right.
But it's called, the website is, the most dangerous writing prompt, the most dangerous random prompt generator.
Okay.
Now, couple of things.
Let's talk.
Going through the prompts, they're kind of like, she was beginning to realize how far down her memory she buried her teenage years. Like, the prompts... I would put like middle school, high school, and you can definitely like skip through them.
Yep.
So it's not like if you could put it up on your smart board or something, you could easily click through something. Like,
yeah, but it wouldn't be definitely not for elementary.
It's not for elementary because like the prompts are,
yeah,
they're just not interesting probably to younger students.
He stared hard at the table as he tried to recall his attacker and began describing.
Go ahead. This one is the footsteps were moving away. Anyway, so you can click
generate new prompt
as many times as you want to.
The pink glove lay on the ground, almost covered.
The horse came back alone because Beauty lost it.
Because
when she went to the beast castle.
Somebody fell off. The end.
Yeah. So anyway, so it's called.
Sounds like a story we tell our youngest.
The shortest story possible. Okay.
The pink glove lay on the ground, almost covered. But it wasn't totally covered. The end.
Good night.
Go to sleep.
But what's fun about this, so you pick your, so the horse came back alone. You click start writing.
Yep.
And there's this little timer that, so once you start and you put like a space and you type in a word, mm-hmm. there's a little timer that starts going across your screen. And because you only get 5 minutes to write, but if you sit on it for more than 10 seconds or 5 seconds, and the screen goes, you failed. And then you have to start over. So you're not allowed to pause and think.
Oh. Wow.
You can't, you can't spend time. You can type and then delete and type and delete.
Yep.
But you can't stop typing for more than 5 seconds or it locks up your screen and you have to start over.
There's also a mode called hardcore mode where it doesn't allow you to see what you've been writing. It's all blurred out. And also, if you wait 5 seconds, it goes to a big red you failed screen. Which is awesome.
Which is fun. So that's why I'm thinking this one is more like middle school, high school, because the prompts are a little trickier, but they also require you to like just write. Like, what a great way to get kids just to like a stream of consciousness, like writing, just start writing. And you can click PDF then and it'll like put it all together for you.
And you can select between if you want a number of minutes that you want the kids to write without stopping, or the number of words you want them to write mm-hmm. without stopping. So you can get 75, 150, 250, 500, mm-hmm. or 1,667.
Nice.
and then minutes, it's between 3 minutes and an hour in different increments. Mm-hmm. So
So it's kind of fun. Yeah. So it's like it's a random prompt generator, but then also it pushes your writing skills too. It's not just the prompts then, but then you're like on a time clock when it comes to actually writing. And to me, I kind of laughed the first time the red screen came up on me. I was like, what? And then I realized like, oh, I have to keep writing. Otherwise.
Like it's pretty intense though.
Shut down.
Yeah. Like, but I guess that's why it's the most dangerous random prompt generator. So it's Squibbler, Squibbler.io / random-prompt-generator. The link will be at the website.
Yes. So try it out even for yourself. It's kind of like a fun little challenge.
Squibbler.
Yeah.
All right. What's next?
So that. A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Another that.
This one is Virtual Nerd.
Virtual Nerd. What's up, Virch Nerd?
Virtual Nerd. So, I got another math thing.
Okay.
I'm all like helping the math people this week. Yeah. So, Virtual Nerd, it's created by Pearson, which is one of the book companies that does math things. Well, they do lots of educational things. But Virtual Nerd is, it's cool. So, everyone's familiar with Khan Academy and the videos that are created for math. Well, Virtual Nerd has their own kind of version of this. So they have over 1,500 video lessons that do like middle grade math through Algebra 2. They also have like Common Core and SAT math topic and ACT math topic alignments. Mm-hmm. So you can like make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to do for those tests too.
Yeah.
So like when you go to virtualnerd.com and you click on like pre-algebra, once you pick the overall topic, there's 708 virtual nerd lessons focused on pre-algebra.
Sure.
Then you pick your topic. So, like multi-step equations and inequalities. You click on that one, and then you get 7 more smaller topics within that one. So then if I click on equations with variables on both sides, then I get another breakdown. Solving equations with variables on both sides. Wow. And then you click on it, and there's 3 videos that explain it.
Yep.
So, like, it goes from, like, one topic to the breakdown to the next breakdown to the next breakdown. And there are videos created for how to solve all these types of math program problems.
So they're all videos, though. They're not actual tests or any.
Correct. It's just videos. And then with the videos, it's kind of cool. It gives you background tutorials, like what other videos you should watch.
Mm-hmm.
It also gives you a keyword bank. So if there's specific vocabulary you're looking for in your lesson or that you want students to know, the vocab is always pulled out to the side,
okay,
which is pretty cool. And then it'll give you further exploration videos, so like the next steps or which ones you should go to after that. So as a teacher, this is another fantastic resource when if your kids need to hear another version of how to do an equation, or if you weren't there that day, or if they need extra help in something. Because a lot of times math is just like repeating, repeating, you know, the skill and relearning it and in hearing it different ways. So Virtual Nerd is such a cool resource because it has all of these math topics and then broken down. And there's a person, like it's a woman, she's explaining it at the whiteboard, or there's various different whiteboards and they like walk you through how to do each steps of these equations, which is pretty sweet. And very helpful, especially I know like our kids, if they're working at different levels too, you can have some kids like, okay, like watch this video on integers and then they can learn about the vocab and how to do it.
Yeah.
And then the teacher can come back and like reinforce the lesson and go back through stuff with them, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
So that is my this. That's a this.
That's a this.
There you go.
Well, what's the site again?
virtualnerd.com.
Virtualnerd.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember when nerd was like a bad word?
I know. Nerds are awesome.
And now nerds is like, oh, yeah, look at that nerd. That's cool. That person must make a lot of money.
Pretty much.
And they're pretty cool because they like nerdy things like Star Wars and old G.I. Joe figures.
Those are your own nerdy things.
I'm naming off my own.
I mean, we embrace Star Wars in this house. But...
they like podcasts, like in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
What a nerd. Yeah. Love them.
Oh, the dog over there snoring. Yeah, that.
Oh, the dog is snoring.
Cool.
Oh, man. That guy's 41.
You're such a nerd. So anyway.
Broadcasting live from his breakfast nook. Or whatever we call this thing.
That's a counter. Kitchen counter. So there's that.
Yeah, true.
So our last this and that is another thing that I used this week with my staff.
Okay.
One of my staff members. high school science, actually. High school conservation science. So we were looking for like ways to look at erosion.
Sure.
And like water tables. And water tables are very expensive. So virtual ways of figuring out how water works, the water cycle.
Water tables, like for
showing erosion. Like, so they have this cool, table, and you like run the water through water them table. With like the sand and like the dirt, and you put the gravel
like
in.
An actual physical water table, yes.
So the problem is well, we don't have
can't afford one. Then.
They're really expensive. And it's winter in Wisconsin. So the flow of water and small little rivers and streams is not. As
we can't just go down by the
field trips.
Can't go down to the van down by the river because
it's frozen. And Elsa came through. So instead, there's this website. It's EduMedia, so EduMedia.
Dash
sciences.com.
Rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah. But what they have on their site.
What's the hardest URL we could ask anybody
it's like
to use?
20 lines long. What they have, though, in this nifty site that's actually a paid site, so just heads up, there's a subscription service, is they have all of these cool simulations for science topics. So for our science teacher, I was pulling up the erosion one. There's erosion and deforestation and how that happens. And they have these like kind of little simulations that you can run.
Oh, yeah, I see.
And it like comes up on the little screen, shows with vegetation. Then you can click on it, so it's like without vegetation, and it shows the difference in how the water runoff and stuff works. If you have the paid version, you can do a lot more with these videos. Mm-hmm. But there are so many of these simulations that it shows kids like the topics you're talking about in class when there's so many science topics that this thing covers. But there are cool simulation videos that show you different things, you know, like different science topics. Mm-hmm. So you get, I don't know.
I would say about a third of what you can read before you have to pay.
Before you have to pay for the subscription. So you can see the summary and like the learning goals and stuff. But to have the kids just kind of explore the site and then they can make their own, you know, they can do their own digital version in like a Google Slides or, you know, like come up with their own. But it gives them a good idea of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Instead of just drawing it on your whiteboard.
Certainly, So, like, they've got the videos, and you can select between with vegetation and without, but you don't get the full lesson.
Correct, unless you pay for it.
Yeah. But if you're, like, really, like, what class would this be? Geology?
Science. Well, science. Various, like...
Earth science. Yeah. Like, if you have budget for it, that might be a thing, but
if you find yourself using them enough. But it's not just for, so like there's weathering, there's erosion, but under topics, like under in general, there's larger overhead topics, so like life science, earth science, environmental science and ecology, physics, astronomy, chemistry, technology. If you click on the technology one, it pulls up then mini lessons on like electrical engineering, and then different what's a multimeter and a speed controller for a DC motor. Like it has all kinds of things. Yeah. So even if you're just going to expose students to like other types of science or topics, I pulled up the one before on astronomy, and you can pull up a whole thing on the solar system.
Sure.
And it goes through the different planets. So it's kind of cool that even in the free versions of stuff, they're very helpful when you're teaching lessons.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
Then if you're really into it, then you can go ahead and pay for the subscription for it.
Yeah, but I mean it's pretty pricey if you're going to pay for the
right
the subscription for one teacher for 1 year in a secondary school.
Mm-hmm.
So they go separated by elementary and secondary. Mm-hmm. It's $300,
right?
Which is probably coming out of your pocket. Let's be honest,
right? But I feel like there's enough in this one that you wouldn't need a subscription for using it as supplements in your classroom.
Yeah, sure.
And so, like, our yep. science teacher, she's using it with her.
We wouldn't talk about it on the show. If
right, if it wasn't worth a free tool. But she's using it, in, like I said, in her conservation class. And
yeah.
so they're exploring kind of the little digital versions, and then they're going to kind of build their own from that. But it's a good talking point in getting the kids exploring.
BYOE. Build your own erosion. No?
Water table?
BYOWDC?
Stop
now. No? Okay. I can just stop now, guys.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we're good.
I'm good.
Yeah, so.
All right.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that. I didn't totally lose my voice. I feel like.
I felt good introing your show.
I haven't really done that.
I'm going to do that more often.
Okay. Go for it.
I found my old radio cassettes today.
Yes.
And you heard me booming them through the basement?
I did.
But it was like from like 1996 when I was a child.
Yes.
I had just turned, and I'm sure I have one in there from when I was still 17, but mm-hmm. I had just turned 18.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of fun. I was really trying hard.
You were really trying hard. It was really funny.
I was realizing.
Yeah.
How much I wanted to sound like a radio guy.
But or you could fun. Just, like, talk, and it could just happen.
Yeah, and now I'm just like, hey, here I am.
Nice.
Welcome to the podcast. All right.
On that note, thanks for tuning in. This is the Tech Tools for Teachers podcast.
Do you want me to finish?
Yes, please.
If you ever have any questions, find her on Twitter at SmartNWI, and if you want to get more information on the links to the technology discussed in this episode, visit SmartNWI.com. New episodes each week. Thanks for listening. Go educate and invade Schnazzy! The ideas and opinions expressed in this podcast and the SmartNWI website are those of the author, Shanna Martin, and not of her employer. Prior to using any of the technologies discussed on this podcast, please consult with your employer regulations. This podcast offers no guarantee that these tools will work for you as described, but we sure hope they do, and we'll talk to you again, hopefully with beautiful voices, next week. Thanks for listening.